Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I hit just a couple other side announcements before I dive in here. Last night was the Madison Grant prom, and we've got some good representation from our young people. The king and the queen was AJ Jones and Peyton Friel, who have been worshiping here with us. So that's pretty cool for them to get recognized and to be the king and the queen. Did we have any other kings and queens homecoming or prom out there? Anybody? No one. All right. Very good. Were you? Oh, good. Melissa?
Oh, no,
no, you weren't? Okay. That was in your own dreams. She's like, yeah, I was. My dad told me I was a princess. But Principal Mann is here. He was up till what, 4 or 5 in the morning? 3? 2-ish? All right, doing the after prom, and so made it. I'll tell you, man, that's great. I was up at 2 to go to the bathroom and then went right back to bed. Anybody else? All y'all were up at 2 in the morning. I know. Yeah, I see all the hands coming up. Man, when did that hit? Golly. Just 30, it starts changing or something. I don't know what. But for the last several years, it has been. Anybody 2-timers in the middle of the night? We don't need to go there, but Gail went there. Man. Fascinating. Don't want to know any more about that. Hey, we're going to start a series in the month of May for this week. Next week's going to be Mother's Day, and Alyssa, my wife, is going to be up here speaking to all the mamas and really to all the women in our church, and then we're going to continue the rest of the month into our series in May on worship. We're going to do a series on the heart of worship, kind of how we worship and how we do this thing. Real quick, just to explain what's going on with my hand, I can imagine I did not get a tattoo, but Ronnie drew on my hand, press with a heart. So you press it, and then your finger just magically pops up. It's crazy how it works. But then it says, touch backwards. She wrote it on there backwards, and then you turn it over. Then you pull, and then it says, I love you. So kind of a cool thing, and I was very tricked by that whole deal, and then we got to it, and then that she loves me. So anyway, we got to wear our kids' graffiti on our body sometimes. So as we get into this idea of worship, and got some thoughts that just as far as some research that I did through Skip Heitzig, was able to share some insights on worship, and I want to share them with you, and hopefully we apply them into our own church setting here. How many of you all know what a selfie is? Anybody ever taken a selfie? No one? Yeah, a couple of you just don't want to admit it. How many selfies do you think are uploaded every day on social media? The Urban Dictionary defines a selfie as this: a picture you take of yourself intended to upload to some sort of a social network. For me, it's still MySpace is where I hang out. But maybe for some of y'all, it's the Facebook or Instagram, wherever it might be. But the idea is they take a picture of themselves and then they upload it. Would you believe this? 93 million selfies are uploaded every day to some sort of a social media platform. We can't get enough of ourselves. We're pretty awesome, aren't we? As Americans, we are very impressed with ourselves, that we just can't get enough of it. And not only am I impressed with myself, but you should see how awesome I am. So let me post this for you real quick. But they think that the original selfie that was ever taken was not, in fact, by Kim Kardashian, but instead it was taken by the Greek mythology guy named Narcissus. And you can all agree where you think this is going. Narcissus, one day, he was so captured by his beauty. Any people just love just good literature, and I'm not saying that we need to read Greek mythology, and hey, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. My pastor read Greek mythology, and that's just witchcraft. No, it's not. I'm not freaking out. I just read it, and I'm not believing it. I'm not bowing down to anything. I just kind of enjoy it. Dennis, you enjoy good literature. Reads a good Greek mythology story from time to time. But the story goes that Narcissus was enamored by his own beauty, but he didn't have a mirror to even look at. He was just confident in and of himself. Until one day he was so thirsty that he shows up at this pool to get a drink. Are y'all tracking with me? And as he looks down into the pool, he sees his own reflection for the very first time. He sees a selfie, and he sees himself, and he's so caught up with it that he refuses to dip his hand into the water because of the ripples will distort his own image. And so he cannot drink, and the story goes that he dies of thirst because he was so enamored by his own beauty, and he would never mess it up to even replenish his own body. And he dies while taking in his awesomeness. Fascinating, huh? And can we fast forward the tape about a couple thousand years and see, isn't it amazing how we would much rather just dry up in and of our own selves than to get outside of ourselves where it's focused on something much greater and bigger? We would rather stay in this place where I don't want to make any sort of riptides that would maybe mess up my own cool image that I've got going on here. And I'm willing to die in this place than to really go to the waters that are going to feed me and bring me life forevermore. This name, narcissist, we also have flowers nowadays that are the narcissist flowers, or like the Piccadilly sort of the flowers, and that kind of led into where we also get the name narcotics, and they're these herbs that we can get. Why? So we can anesthetize the pain, so we can just stay comfortable. The narcotics are here to make me feel as comfortable as possible, right? In a safety place. It's a fascinating idea where we get and contract this thing back. And as we go into this whole thing of worship, I think that our gaze in worship can move subtly and sometimes suddenly from fixating on the personhood of Christ and the beauty of the Lord and being transfixed on something so much greater and so much higher to where it really becomes so much more about me. This is what I would rather. This is what I want. Or this is what I don't want. And it really becomes about a selfie than it does about a Savior. And this morning the goal is just to get our eyes fixed back on a place where God is encouraging us to go. I believe that there's just a handful of ways that we can have better expression of worship. Number one, I believe that worship is spiritual. And I've got the scriptures up here today that you can just follow along, but it's spiritual. In John chapter 4, Jesus is sitting with the woman from the well, and y'all might remember how the story goes, but Jesus, as a Jew, and he's a man, should not be talking to a woman who is a Samaritan, and he meets up with her at the well, and he begins this dialogue and this conversation with her, and she's like, we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be having this conversation, and he's like, it's fine, can you get me something to drink? And she's like, you showed up to a well without a bucket to be able to get water? And he's like, if you would have only known, you would have asked me for a drink, because I was able to release to you waters that would never cause you to thirst again. They would satisfy your soul. And he says, hey, why don't you go get your husband? Oh, that was a bad move there. Not that Jesus made a bad move, but it was an uncomfortable move. And she goes, well, yeah, my husband, you know, this, this, and this. And he goes, in fact, the person that you're with right now is not your husband. You have a handful of husbands. And I want to encourage you to start really reevaluating your life from this point on. And we jump in here in this scripture here. And the woman said to him in verse 19, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Man, didn't take her long, right? He starts reading your mail. Anybody ever just had somebody read your mail and you're like, whoa, how do you know? Are you following me around? How do you know that that's what I'm walking through? In verse 20, our fathers worshipped at this mountain, and she starts getting really religious. She's going to show Jesus how much she knows. Our fathers worshipped at this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to the woman, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Let me tell you something. It doesn't say that we worship in personal preference. It doesn't say that we worship in certain styles. It says that we're going to come before this spiritual being and encounter in the spirit based upon the truths of what we see in his character and in scripture. And we're going to fixate our eyes upon this place. And she's getting into this thing, well, we worship on this mountain and we do these certain things. And he's like, hey, let's get to what really matters. Let's get to the truth of it all. We want to encounter Jesus in the spirit of God. Are y'all with me? So as I come in this morning, I just felt the presence of the Lord, and I am not kidding at all. I could feel just the weight. Y'all know the word glory of God means the weight of God. Man, the weight. I could feel his presence was here. And so I want to engage into the presence of the Lord. And it's more than words on a screen. It's more than words on a page. I want to engage with the spirit and with the truth of God. I believe it's also relational. Having a relationship with God. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, it says that you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart. That it is engaged as I come into this place, that my heart is in love with this guy. With all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my mind, all synapses are firing. My heart is exploding. My mind is engaged. I'm not distracted. I'm not going over my grocery list. I'm not thinking, man, did I forget to leave the crock pot on? And our mind can just be running 100 different miles an hour, right? It can. It just can. Usually mine is, you know, where are my kids and what's happening and what's going right? It can just go wherever. And man, I want my mind to be in love with him. I want my heart to be, I want my strength to be focused on engaging in the presence of the Lord. I believe it's also revelational. That this relationship with God should be a revelation. In Psalm chapter 96, verse 1, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Did you know that there's 9 passages of Scripture that command us to sing a new song? To sing something new. How do you sing anything new if there hasn't been fresh revelation hitting your heart? I want to encourage us that we would be a people in constant encounter with the Lord where there's just an overflow going on in my heart. I'll tell you, I can write a brand new letter to Alyssa in a heart that's full of love. I shouldn't just put it in the Xerox copy. Hey, Alyssa, I gave this to you last year, remember it? And it was really good. Just read it again. That's still how I feel. And next year, here it is again. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. But this is still how my heart is. Wouldn't it be great if every day was this whole new love song to your spouse? Imagine it being even more so to a perfect redeemer, this overflow song. And can I encourage you this, something that's a little bit maybe weird or mystical or spiritual, because an encounter with Jesus is spiritual, is that you would just have an overflow out of your heart, and maybe it doesn't rhyme, and that's okay. But in the comfort of your own car, in your shower, in your kitchen, I don't know, but Jesus, I love you. I worship you, Lord. I thank you that you are good. Just an overflow, right? Come on, I'm just in love, and I'm just going to sing a new song, not a script from last week or from last year or from last century, but there's something fresh going on inside of here. Can I encourage you this, that you are not marked by being a Christian by what you say and not even by what you do. People can do good things. We can be just good old boys and just be good. Can I encourage you, you are marked by a Christian by how and by who you worship. Worship is the indicator of a heart that's alive. And whenever your heart is dead coming into worship, it points to something wrong. And it's not with the Maker. It's with me. It's with you. And so I got to get a new song coming inside of my heart. And he commands us, have fresh revelation of me. Have fresh encounter. And if there's nothing fresh going on in my marriage, man, I've got nothing else to say to her. Maybe it'd even digress. Hey, it's been a bummer this last year. Happy Mother's Day. Right? If there's not a continual climbing, growth, revelation. More things are being revealed. I'm not in the scriptures. I'm not in great books. There's no more revelation encountering my heart. Then it's just kind of just gets cold and stale after a while. If there's no more dates, there's no more pursuit, there's no more things that are coming. If my eyes aren't fixed upon her beauty where she's doing this and she's crushing it there and I see her faithfulness in my life and how she serves, right? I never see any of that. Then why would I sing a new song? Why would I write a new letter? Come on, people. We want to see God constantly in fresh encounter all of the time. And so what I pray is, God, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's in love. And there will be a fresh song upon your lips all of the time. And it's not just, did Alyssa sing a new song? Did Kathy come up with a new song? No, you come up with a new song each and every day. Each and every day, there's a new song upon our lips. Also, we see that worship is instrumental. We see this in Scripture. In Psalm chapter 149, it says, let them praise his name with dancing. Make music to him, the tambourine and the harp. And in the Amplified Bible, it doesn't just say the harp, because I've seen harps and I think that they're cool, but a harp doesn't get me going. But it just is talking about stringed instruments, right? And the tambourine and cymbals, it even talks about drums, like Patrick was playing here for the Mrs. Sinewall band. And it talks about just some energy and some life. The Bible said, when we come into the presence of the Lord, let's strike up the band. Let's get the stringed instruments going. Let's get the piano and the guitar and the violin and the viola and the guitar again. And that really would be the Amplified, right? If we plug them into something and get some energy, and the clanging of cymbals is how we would worship the Lord. He says it should be instrumental in how we worship, right? There should be some excitement going on. The trumpet. Kathy plays the trumpet. Maybe we should have the trumpet a little bit more. I play nothing, but I can try to make a beautiful noise. But whatever it is, it says, come on, let's bring this to the Lord as we begin to worship. Also, whenever they would go to war, the 12 tribes of Israel, they would head off to battle, and there would be different 12 tribes that would go. But there was always a certain tribe that went first. They said, send Judah first. And Judah would go first in the worship. And the tribe of Judah was all the instrumental groups. I would not have been in the tribe of Judah. And they would go and they would worship and dance and sing and make these noises. And they would go into warfare with a song upon their lips. I encourage you, maybe whatever you're going through, the best weapon of warfare is worship. I got to get my heart right. I know this, it's hard to fix my eyes upon the cross and be mad at my wife. Just is. It's hard to fix my gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and his grace and redemption on my life and be mad at my neighbor or be frustrated that I got ripped off somehow. You look at the cross and tell me if you got ripped off. We got to get our eyes fixed back on the one thing that matters, right? And whenever I live in a place of worship and constant encounter, all of this, it is well with my soul. When I'm able to transcend my spirit, when it can gain some altitude, I can see everything else from a 30,000 point view. Okay, it is well. I got to gain some perspective. And if I can get my heart up to the throne room instead of this everyday, just the minutiae of life, I got to gain some altitude. And it comes in worship. Worship takes me to another place. I'll tell you, God is not stressing in heaven. He's not pacing in heaven. He's not biting his nails right now. What a puny, pathetic God who's freaking out all the time. That's not him. I gotta get up here where he's at. I gotta come to his place, and then I can engage into this everyday life. So music should be a part of our life. I just enjoy all kinds of music, but particular worship-focused music. Also, we see that worship is physical. Check this out. In Psalm 95, verse 1 and in verse 6, it says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us bow in worship. Let us kneel before our Maker. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands. There's an engagement required of our bodies as we worship. We bend, we bow, we kneel, we lift, we clap, we shout. There's some sort of an engagement physically that the Bible says that you ought to have. And it's not based upon what you prefer. It's based upon what God would prefer us to give him. To worship is for you to make a sacrifice of worship to the one who is most worthy, right? And so it's not about you. It's about you sacrificing you. I don't want to lift my hands. I'm not going to shout. We're Quakers. I don't want to get loud. We're not going to get loud for that God. Are you kidding me? Lifting hands. Can I talk to you just a couple things? You know why you lift hands in life? Sometimes I lift hands to receive something. Usually Ronnie says, close your eyes and hold out your hands. I just come before her, ready to receive a gift. I just want to receive from you. Been at ball games before. Yeah. I lift up my hands. Yeah. To celebrate. You get more fired up about the Colts who have lost for a decade than you do about Jesus who wins every day. You get more excited about stuff that does not matter. Throwing up our hands. I throw up my hands whenever I volunteer for something. I'll go. Send me. I throw up my hands whenever I want somebody's attention. Hey, I'm over here. Over here. Use me. I volunteer. I hold up my hands whenever I surrender. Don't shoot. But I just surrender. I surrender my life. I come before you to receive. I volunteer. I'm totally exposed before you. Our bodies should resemble something of engagement with the Lord. I want to kneel before you, Lord, in honor and in reverence. I want to encounter you, right? I want to receive from you. I want to tell you how awesome you are. Yeah! I want to shout about a God like this. I want to engage. This is not what God's looking for. Again, that song? Jeez. Let's get through these slides, can we? Gee whiz. What page did she say? You missed it. You just totally missed it. And if you walk into the presence and you're bored because they didn't do something right, they missed a note, you just completely, you're focused on the selfie rather than the Savior. You just missed it. And we're called to transcend and fix our gaze on something much bigger. And if we ever walk into worship, and it's okay for us to maybe ramp up to getting a little bit more comfortable, but you know how you first start getting more comfortable? Is you got to get uncomfortable. And you know what you should do? Is you should do like a half mast. Do it. And that's cool. That's step one. But baby steps this thing. Baby step this thing. Whoa. We're half mast. Maybe a president died. We don't know. Okay, we're going to go all the way. And before you know it, God, I'm just free. It's not about me being locked up in worship. I'm just free and I'm in love. But I'll tell you here, this is where it all starts. Your hands can't go where your heart won't allow. And when the heart is locked, your hands are going to stay right here. And God has told you, lift your hands to him. And you cannot say no. Don't do it. Don't say no. He says, shout to him. Don't say no. You're acting like you're four. I have one of those. You know what happens to four-year-olds that say no? You get spanked. Audit your life. Are you getting spanked? Are there things that are just not popping for you? Maybe because there's somebody who is completely worthy of wild and crazy affection that they're not receiving it from you, and you wonder why he won't just cater to all of our needs. What if we ask God, what are you wanting? What are you wanting out of my life? I want holy hands. I want a song and a dance. I want to celebrate in how good and how awesome I am in your life. I want you to weep before me, bow before me, bend before me, express yourself before me. An expressive worship is what he's looking for. Charles Finney, this guy, let me tell you about some old school worship. Born in the late 1700s, lived most of his days through the early 1800s. Charles Finney was this lawyer brain. I mean, he was just a professional. Anybody like being a professional worshiper? Hey, I'm professional. Got my shirt ironed, tucked, perfect, not a crease on me. Don't do that because that's not professional. I got to look sharp. I'm reverent. Look at how holy I am. Charles Finney was that, but didn't have a relationship with the Lord and would rather be professional than radical, would rather be professional than obedient. And he had this encounter with Jesus, and he writes this. He said, there was no fire. There was no light. Nevertheless, it appeared to me as if it were perfectly lit as the Lord encountered. I went into this house. I shut the door behind me, and it seemed as if I had met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. It did not occur to me then, nor did it sometime after, that it was holy and a mental state. But on the contrary, it seemed to me that I saw him as I would see any other man. He said nothing, but he looked at me in such a manner as to break me right down to his feet. I fell down at his feet and I poured out my soul to him. I wept aloud like a child and I made such confessions as I could with my choked utterance. It seemed to me that I bathed his feet with my tears. And yet I had no distinct impression that I had even touched him that I recollect. As I turned, I was about to take a seat and I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without any expectation of it, without ever having the thought in my mind that there was any such thing for me, without any recollection there I had ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love, for I could not express it any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. I can recollect distinctly that it seemed to fan me like immense wings. No words can express the wonderful love that was shed abroad in my heart. I wept aloud. This is a guy who does not know the Lord. This is his encounter with Jesus. God just comes upon him. I wept aloud with joy and love. And I do not know, but I should say, I literally bellowed out the unutterable gushings of my heart. These waves came over me and over me and over me, one after the other, until I recollect I cried out, I shall die if these waves continue to pass over me. I said, Lord, I cannot bear any more. Yet I had no fear of death. How long I continued in this state with the baptism continuing to roll over me and through me, I do not know. But I know it was late in the evening when a member of my choir came into the office to see me. He found me in this state of loud weeping, and he said to me, Mr. Finney, what ails you? I could make him no answer for some time. He then said, are you in pain? I gathered myself up as best I could and replied, no, but so happy that I cannot live. I want to encourage this out of us, that we are in an encounter with this overwhelming, unbelievably heavy, glory, beautiful God, that when he has an encounter with you, you cannot stand underneath the weight of it, to where the waves keep hitting you of love. He calls it liquid love. Wave just keeps crashing upon my soul to where I have to ask him to stop or I'm going to die. Can you imagine your heart being filled to a place to where it has run out of maximum capacity and the love of God literally could come upon and explode the human heart? Imagine having a heart attack by the love of God. This is what he's having. He says, God, stop loving me because I cannot handle it. Y'all, I think we're being invited to go deeper and not for your expression of worship to be boring, but for your expression of worship to be full, unbelievable, wiped out a mess in the presence of the Lord. This is what we're calling. This is what we're contending. It's physical. It's instrumental. It's mental. It's revelational. It's relational. And last one, I believe that it's also lifestyle. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as if you're doing this for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Worship is also a lifestyle. Each and every day that you get up and go to work, I'm going to work today as if I'm working for the Lord. I'm going to do this today as if I'm going to worship Jesus with my lifestyle here. My attitudes and actions are going to show that I am worshiping Jesus in everything that I do. I'm going to work hard as if this work is straight to God. Worship becomes a lifestyle. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. It's not just showing up at 10:30. Singing a couple songs and going home. That's not your worship expression. Every piece of life becomes worship. Can I just encourage us this morning to go deeper? And whenever you hear good news, do you ever say, yeah, I agree with that? You see something good happen in a ball game? Yeah. What if we ever heard something good about God? Would there ever be any sort of an expression? Yeah. Amen. Which just simply means let it be. Or so be it, or clapping and applauding God's faithfulness and testimonies where we share that he's good and he's faithful. God is calling us to move from our seats into a place of engagement with our hearts. Would you all stand with me as we close to pray? Just do some audits on your heart, if you will, and say, man, where have I just lost it to where it's just become ritual? It's become, I just show up. Kathy will sing. That'll be good. Alyssa will sing. That'll be fine. To where, no, every day I'm in a place of encounter where I'm going to sing. So Jesus, we just ask you, would you bring us into a place of more revelation of who you are? That there would be constant new songs coming out of us. God, just a newness, a freshness all of the time, a new song, a new rhythm, a new skip in our step, a new beat about our life, just a newness. Every day your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we just pray for new encounters each and every day. And Lord, we pray that we would be an expressive church, that you would not look down upon us and that we would just sit. But God, we would stand, we would bow, we would dance, we would lift, we would clap, we would sing. Oh, that we would worship you, Jesus. Do this in our church family. And we do love you today, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. He's good. He's good, church. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We honor you today. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.